All right, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, real quick. Hebrews chapter 12, I quote this verse a lot. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, I quote it a whole lot. And so you'll, as soon as you see it, you'll know it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about looking unto Jesus. Amen. He says that. He says, looking unto Jesus. He's the author. He wrote it. He created it. He's the finisher. He's the one that will complete it. Doesn't have a thing to do with us other than accepting it. And so I want to talk to you about what does that mean, looking unto Jesus. What does that mean? You know, I've been in all kind of houses, witnessing, pastoring. I sold life insurance on the side there for years. And I go in some houses, you know, they got a picture of a blonde Jesus, you know, and he's got blue eyes and long blonde hair. And those were done in the Middle Ages when people weren't allowed to read the Bible, so they didn't know any better. And then I go into others, and they'd have a black Jesus, you know, and he's black and black eyes and black hair, you know. And people said, well, what's wrong with that? Well, both of them's wrong.
Yeah.
In his human body, he was a Jew.
Amen.
He didn't look like either one of those. And so it just shows biblical ignorance is what it shows, and superstition. Because usually those people, they will look to that picture. And they'll pray to that picture. I don't have any, I don't light candles. I don't chant chants. I don't have any pictures I look at, or I don't burn incense. I knew a lot of people did when I was younger, but that wasn't for the same reason. And, but I don't have religion. So I don't look to anything. I look to someone, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's alive and well, sitting on the right hand of the Father. There is no picture that would describe him. And the reason is, God knows we'd worship the picture. But some people fall for that. So what does it mean, looking unto Jesus? We look to him. Are we trust him? Or we depend on him? Y'all see what I'm saying? Like when you were a kid, you were looking unto your mother and father to buy you food and buy you clothes and house you and things like that. And so it's depending on him or trusting him. Y'all understand? And so it says looking unto Jesus, it said depending on him, looking at him, putting it all on him, trusting him. That's what looking unto him means, see. And so I got thinking about that little phrase, looking unto Jesus. So then I thought, well, what am I supposed to look to him for? Look unto him for. So turn to Acts 17, 21. Acts 17, verse 21. Now, I've got a lot of verses, so if you can't catch up with me, just write them down. Acts 17:28. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. I want you to look at the first part. For in him we live and move and have our being. So, in other words, we're looking unto Jesus in everything. We're looking unto Jesus in everything. Our moving, our breathing, everything. And I thought, well, what does that mean? Let me try to explain. Not just salvation. Now, we look unto him for our salvation. But there's a lot more to trust in Christ than just being saved. A lot of people say a prayer and they think, well, that's it. But they miss a blessing, or either they didn't really mean it in the first place. But it's not just salvation. But not only that, but it's not just when things are going good or when things are going bad. It's when things are going bad and it's when things are going good. It's you looking unto Jesus for everything. Good times, bad times, joyful times, sorrowful times, triumphant time, trial times, success and failure times. We look unto Jesus in everything, in every situation.
Amen.
Being a Christian is more than saying a prayer and say, Lord, I want to be saved. Every day, I look for Him in everything I do.
Amen.
He's in everything. And people say, well, you're too fanatical or you're too strict and all that. Well, if you start putting Him right in the middle of everything you're in, you'll get that way too. They've got one, they just look to Him in their church service. That's it, see. But I want to look at Him, I want to look unto Him in everything. In other words, I want to trust Him in everything. Y'all know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I want to depend on Him in everything, every situation. Hebrews 4:16. Go back to Hebrews. Hebrews 4:16. You're going to get your Bible study tonight. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Look at this. Now that word grace means undeserved favor.
Right.
That we may obtain mercy and find grace, undeserved favor, to help in time of need. Not only grace to be saved, but grace for time of need too. So we're looking unto Jesus in everything. Now a lot of people only look for Him on Sunday. And they want to put Him in their life in everything they do on Sunday. And they reserve one day to look unto Jesus. In everything they do that day though, they're real religious on Sunday. And they look unto Jesus. And the churches are full of them. And by the way, I don't know if you ever notice, a lot of people don't go to church, but usually if you get run over on Sunday morning, it'll be by somebody going to church somewhere.
Yeah.
That a lot of people do go to church, especially Catholics. You ought to ride by one of these Catholic churches on Sunday morning. The parking lots are running over. And then whenever the Spanish service comes next, it's even more so. And so people are, they're looking unto Jesus in their Sunday, but what about the rest of the week? What about the rest of life? We're to look unto Jesus in everything. In the good times and the bad, the sorrowful and the joyous, the triumphant days and the trialing days. You know, when I have a success and when I have a failure, boy, we look at success, we say, oh, thank you, Jesus. We have a failure, you say, look what the devil did. How you know Jesus didn't do that?
Right.
You need to think about that. If all things work together for the good of them that love God. Amen. He's in your failures too. You need to look for Him. And then turn to John 14:13. John 14:13, if you will. Most of you already know this verse, so when I start reading it, you're going to quote it anyway. John 14:13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now that's not a ticket to get anything you want. He said, whatever you ask in my name, He said that the Father may be glorified. So what you ask for, if God couldn't get the glory out of it, don't think that you were supposed to get it.
Right.
You know, sometimes the devil gives you stuff too.
Yeah.
Amen. You got to be wise enough to put Jesus, and you got to look unto Him, not only in everything, but for everything.
Amen.
For everything. We got to look to Him for that. And my life, I'm 65 years old. I know I look like I'm 45, but I can't help it.
Amen.
I got good genes.
Amen.
And hey, I got one amen out of that. Amen. And I feel pretty good today. I didn't feel real good, but compared to most people I grew up with who are no longer on planet Earth, I'm doing real good. Amen. I'm doing real good. You don't know where I come from. I told somebody the other day, I said, it's just a miracle I'm alive. Amen. Listen, in my life, I look for Him in everything in my life. Everything. Some of our folks are going through cancer, COPD, getting his ear pierced and all kinds of things. But we got to look for the Lord, for our everything. We got to look for Him. Now He's in that situation. Now we got to look for Him to do something in that situation. For everything. He's my life, my whole life. He is my food. You know why I say the blessing? I thank him for his food. He's the one that gave it to me.
Yes.
You don't know where some of us grew up. Last night I had a flashback. My wife fixed those big old lima beans.
Oh, man.
Them big ones.
Yeah.
And slaw. And onions. And cornbread. And that was it. Back when I was a kid, that was eating like a king. Amen. We didn't have meat. Well, we did have meat on Friday when Mama went to get it, but by Monday it was gone. Let me tell you something. We'll look for him in our life. We'll look for him in, for everything. Yeah. For our food, for our clothing.
Right.
Y'all think I'm joking. When I got married, I had 2 Winn-Dixie bags of clothes. That was it. I'd never owned a suitcase or anything like that. I had 2 Winn-Dixie bags of clothes. That was it. Most of them were stretched out where my younger brother, who was bigger than me, would steal them and wear them. I look for him for my clothing. Now I go to my closet and I got so many suits I can't choose.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got so many pants I can't choose. I got so many shoes. I was telling somebody the other day, they was talking about their kids wouldn't change from their school shoes. I said, well, that's all we had. We had 1 pair of shoes. That was it. When you come home, you took those off. That was it. We went barefooted all the time. In the wintertime, we had sneakers, but they were our school sneakers. And if we ruined them, we just ruined them, you know. But we'll look for him for everything, for our shelter.
Yep.
I don't own a house. He owns it.
Amen.
He gave it to me.
Yeah.
And he lets me live there.
Amen.
Hey, that's the truth.
Yes, sir.
That's the truth. Look unto him for our daily needs.
That's right.
Our daily needs. My God, he'll supply your needs from where? His riches in glory. Your daily needs. Now, we're so unthankful in this country. We're spoiled. We forget. All I got to do tonight, if I want cold water, I go in there and turn on a faucet that says cold. Or I can turn around the refrigerator and get some ice cold water. Or I can turn around the refrigerator and get cube ice or crushed ice. We used to have crushed ice when I was a kid. We'd get them trays out, you know, and we'd run some water over them and dump them out on a towel. Then we'd fold them up and go out on the back porch and take a hammer and beat that and get us some crushed ice. That's how we got it. Y'all remember that? Some of y'all ain't never been poor. You don't know nothing. Or I can go in there and turn on the hot water. I got hot water in the house. Hot. Somebody corrected me the other day. I said I had a hot water heater. He said, why you need it if the water's hot? I said, it's the water heater that heats it. He said, well, why you call it a hot water heater? Why don't you call it a cold water heater? But I got hot and cold running water. Don't have to go out on the porch and pump. Don't have to go out to the well and pull a chain. And some of y'all never had those experiences. It ain't like we want to go back, okay? I don't want to go back to none of that. Amen. Sunday dinner was walking in the yard. Go out there and grab her up. And she'd run around a little bit. You'd throw that head over there. And then you'd spend the next hour with a pot of hot water plucking that booger. And then after cleaning it and all that, you really didn't want to eat it then. I mean, especially if you had named it because it was one of your chick bitties, one of your Easter bitties. You remember when you got Easter bitties? Y'all didn't get Easter, but y'all were city people. Oh, your chicks. Mom would buy some little old bitties at Easter. They'd be colored bitties. And they'd run around the yard. You'd see them getting bigger and that color coming off a little bit more and a little bit more. And by the time all the color done grown off, it's time to eat. And it was hard to eat Elvis or Jethro, whatever you named it, you know. But we'll look to God. Hey, the Lord's looking unto him for everything, in everything. He's in my house. He's in my food. He's in my water. He's in my shelter. It'll make you a lot more thankful. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, if you will. Now, I'm going to slow down a little bit here. I got time. 1 Thessalonians chapter. Now, Monday nights when I don't have time, I have so much to teach and I get so carried away. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus. Oh my goodness. Now, we'll to look. Now he's coming, right? That's what it says. He's coming. So we'll look for him, right? We'll look for him coming. But we'll to look unto him with everything that we are and everything that we have. Because when he comes, we're only going to take what we did for him with us.
Right. Amen.
Nothing else is going to last. Only what we did for him is going to last. Everything else is going to be past. And so what we've got to do, we've got to look unto him with everything. Everything that you are, you ought to be looking to him with it. Because see, no man know the day nor the hour, not even the angels in heaven. And when he comes, it's going to be like a secret. It's like a thief in the night, he said. And so we need to look unto him with everything we've got, all our power, all our will, all our love, everything about us. We'll be looking unto him with that. Don't get too attached to this old world. Don't look unto it with everything you are, because you're not going to be here long. Our life's like a vapor, James says. It appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away. And no man knows the day nor hour you're going to die. Sometimes people get cancer, and they'll say, well, preacher, doctor told me I got maybe a year to live. And I say, well, you're more fortunate than I am. And they'll say, what do you mean by that? I said, you know when you're going to go.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I said, I may go before you.
That's right.
And you got time to make amends, and you got time to get things ready and get prepared, you know, and try to win your loved ones and try to make peace with people you've not had peace with. And you got time to get thoroughly right with God. I said, there's somebody out here going to have a car wreck today that wasn't prepared, and they're not going to be ready to go.
Right.
But we'll look unto him, not only in everything and for everything, but with everything. Romans 12:1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies.
Yes.
A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's just reasonable that we present our body to him.
Right.
And boy, that'd save a whole lot of grief in people's lives, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Well, not do anything this body. It's his body, not ours anymore. When you got saved, he bought it with his body on the tree.
Yes.
He gave his body on the tree, and then you gave him your body when you accepted Christ. This is his temple now. The Holy Spirit moved in. He said, know you not that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? You're the temple of the Holy Spirit moved in that day. So now this thing don't even belong to me anymore.
Right.
I don't have a supreme right over this anymore. He does.
Amen.
Amen. And so what we need to do, we need to present our bodies, and that way we'll be looking unto him in everything we do. Everything we eat, everything we drink, everybody we associate with, all our relationships, all our, everything we do with this body, we'll be looking unto him with this body.
Amen.
Everything. And then, not only that, I want you to look at one more. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
You ain't mad at me, are you?
No.
If you was lost, you'd be. All right. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. In verse 10 it says, wherefore the, I'm sorry, 1 Peter, I done got the wrong one. There it is. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. Wait a minute. Suffered?
Yes.
Christians suffer?
Yes.
Let me read that again. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthen, and settle you.
Amen.
So, boy, now that, hey, that'll preach there. That'll preach. So I thought about, well, not only am I, looking unto Jesus for everything and looking unto Jesus with everything and looking unto Jesus, through everything, but not only that, but in this one, I'm looking for looking unto Jesus through the good and the bad. I'm looking unto Jesus, during suffering or sickness or trial or tribulation or heartbreak or failure, all these things. I'm looking unto Him even in those things. Now those are not the things we associate with looking unto Jesus. I mean, like I said, we want to blame those things on the devil.
Yeah.
Let me give you a bit of theological deep discussion here, okay? The devil is a created being.
Right.
He's not the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
He's not God. Now God's everywhere. He's omnipresent. That means everywhere.
Amen.
The devil's a created being. He's just like me and you. He can be in one place at a time. So Holroyd, if he was over at your house today, who was that over at my house? Wasn't the devil. I'm telling you, all sickness is not from Satan. Now don't get me wrong. Sin is the reason for sickness, sin, death, heartache, and all this stuff. Sin is the reason for the failures and the heartaches and all those things. But none of those things could touch us except that God allowed it.
Right.
Satan can't touch us unless God allows it.
Amen.
The demons can't touch us unless God allows it. So we need to look to Jesus through everything, even the bad things.
Amen.
Now, if you've been saved over a year or two, you've had some bad experiences. A lot of times because of other Christians, or they say they're Christians. And if you don't want to be hurt by people that say they're Christians, don't ever say you're called to pastor. Don't do that. I've been called everything but the devil. But let me tell you something. In my suffering, in my sickness, in the death that I've had my family members and brothers and sisters, even my own mother, I saw Jesus in every bit of it.
Amen.
I saw Him in every bit of it. I've seen Him in sickness, use sickness to get people to come to get saved.
Amen.
And then die the next day.
Yes.
I've seen Him use sickness and suffering to draw Christians who have wandered away back to Him.
Amen.
To get them back where they ought to be.
Yes.
I've seen Him use sickness to bless people.
Yes, Lord.
I've seen Him use suffering to make people testify and witness who would not before they were suffering.
Amen.
Go read Job.
Yeah.
He had some of the sorest friends that ever lived.
Right.
I think they was all from Lancaster County. Every one of them. But they couldn't get him turn his back on God.
That's right.
But he lost everything. And being rich, we don't even know how it is to be rich and then lost his children.
Yeah.
They died. Now let me tell you something. God used every bit of that.
Yes.
And Job kept looking for God in it.
Amen.
And then his wife come out. I'm glad I don't have a wife like that.
Amen.
She come out and said, look here, this has gone far enough. Now this is South Carolina translation, okay? She said, this has gone far enough. Why don't you just cuss God and die? Cuss God, He'll kill you, you can die and this all be over. He looked at her and said, you sound like a foolish woman. He said, yeah, though he slay me. He said, I'm going to see Him with these eyes. Because I know my Redeemer liveth. Now let me tell you something. We can look unto Jesus in everything. We can look unto Jesus for everything. We can look unto Jesus with everything we have. But until we can look unto Jesus through everything, you don't have a clue about those others. I said, I can go home and get me some cold water or hot water. That's not a big deal to you if you never could do that.
Yeah.
unless you could, you've been in that position. We joke about eating beans. Beans and taters, beans and taters, taters and beans, and beans and taters. But you won't appreciate that unless you've gone through that. And then you'll thank God for what you got. We talk about people being sick, you know, and all that, and we just tell them they ought to have faith. Well, you don't know what faith is until you go to the doctor and they cut on you like they did you.
That's right.
Yeah. But he was in it.
Yeah.
He was in every bit of it.
Yes.
Some of y'all's had all kind of tragedy in your families. Y'all got daughter, car wrecks, cancer, sickness, all this stuff. And a lot of people just come unglued and they lose it. Because see, they're not looking through those things and seeing Christ in it. I got news for you. And I know people don't like, people tell me I'm morbid sometimes, but I got news for you. Nobody's getting out of here alive.
That's right.
100%. Unless the trumpet sounds and Jesus takes, changes us.
Amen.
We ain't leaving alive then. We gotta be transformed, translated, changes. And if you don't learn to look unto Jesus through everything in your life, you're gonna be taking some pills. Or you're gonna be drinking out of something. Or snorting something. Or shooting something. Because there's no way you can live on this sin-cursed world and go through what human beings have to go through without the help of the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
And believe me, I've been on both sides of this track. I remember before I had him. You don't know what to do. Heartbroken, disappointed, hurt. Don't know what to do. But then on this side of the track, no matter what, I've got the peace that passes understanding.
That's right.
The grace of God is sufficient for us. If we look to Him through all of that, through the suffering, through the pain, through the disappointment, He's in it.
Yes.
Now here's why you don't. People think that they were saved for themselves.
Amen.
A lot of people think that God saved you because of you.
Yeah. No.
But God saved you for His glory.
That's right. Amen.
God saved you to get glory out of your life so the lost world can look at you and see God, see Christ through you and through your suffering and through the good times and through the bad times too.
Amen.
He saved you to get glory. And then the Bible says when He takes up His jewels and presents them in heaven, all of heaven will give God glory for bringing us up there. And He can say, look what I did this mangy bunch.
Yep. That's so. Amen.
For His glory. And then if I look to Him through all these things, when I come out on the other side, God says, now I did that.
Yep.
And I say, glory to God.
Praise the Lord.
I say hallelujah, and God gets the glory.
Yeah.
Turn to 1 Peter 4:13. Man, I'm running out of time. 1 Peter 4:13. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers. That means you're sharing it. Are partakers of Christ's sufferings. That when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy.
Amen.
When you look for Him in everything and it's all over and you get to the other side, it may not happen until you get to heaven. He's going to get the glory for it and you'll get the joy for it.
Amen.
Boy, that's good. Matthew chapter 14, and I'm through. Matthew chapter 14, look at verse 30. And don't sit there and act like I ain't ever been through it and nobody else has been through it. We've all been through it.
Yeah.
And if we haven't, we're going to.
Yeah.
First time I ever saw a loved one that passed away, I came home from school in the second grade. My sister was there in a casket in the living room. My oldest sister. Don't you act like we ain't never seen anything. We've never suffered anything. Amen. Amen. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 30, you know Jesus, the story of Jesus and Peter. And Peter comes walking, I mean, the Lord comes walking up in the storm. And you know, it's the storm's boisterous, you know, and he's walking on the water in the storm. And disciples are in the ship. And Peter said, that's the Lord. Lord, let me come out there to you. And the Lord said, come on. So old Peter stepped out of the boat. I can see him now. He stepped out of that boat and started walking. This ain't that bad. And as long as he kept his eyes on the Lord.
Amen.
But I can see him now because he is Peter. You remember he's the one that said, nay, Lord, that'll never happen to you. I'll die for you. And I see him, he's watching the Lord and the waves are crashing all around, but they ain't hitting him. And the water's doing this, but it ain't where he is. And the Lord's standing out there and he's walking to him and I can see it now. He's happy. Kind of like that video I put on Facebook today. That man was dancing on top of a pulpit and there's three women running laps because Belinda had made it to church early. I put that down there. I said, this is what's going to happen at my church when some of our folks get there on time. Of course, half people didn't understand that. But look what Peter said in verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried saying, Lord, save me.
Amen.
You see, at first he saw the Lord, but then he saw the storm. And he didn't see the Lord through the storm. He just saw the storm. And if all we do is look under our trouble, we will never be happy. We'll never be happy. You're looking at the start over king, man. I've had so many jobs, you wouldn't believe it. I remember I used to go fill out an application before they required resumes. And I'd have to flip it over on the back. I'd say, see back. I'd have to flip it on the back and write the other jobs. I had so many jobs. And just hit the reset button, start over. You know, people, after you get saved, you know, you get in one church and everything's going real good. And you say, glory to God, hallelujah. And then all of a sudden everything falls apart and you got to go. And you say, okay, well, Lord, we'll start over. And you're serving in one place and all of a sudden, you're serving somewhere else. But here's the secret. No matter what the storm is, just keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now sat down on the right hand of God. It ain't time for us to sit down. He sat down. One day we'll get to sit down too. The old slaves used to sing a song. They were going to the long home, to a place where they could sit down. That must have been a hard life. Well, everybody's life is hard at some time.
Yeah.
Don't matter what size house you live in, doesn't matter what your car costs. Everybody's life's hard sometimes. And what would be nice to everybody because you don't know what they're going through that day. I can't stand to see people mistreat waitresses. Makes me mad. And I know they don't bring you the drink. They don't. Used to have a man in my church. He'd sit over there and we'd go out to eat with him. He'd sit over there and his glass get about half empty. He'd go. I ain't leaving no tip here. They don't fill up my glass. Then I found out where he started at. I went to his house one day and we were sitting there drinking a glass of tea and his tea ran out. He went. And that woman come running over there with a pitcher and filled it up. I said, you sorry rascal. You sorry rascal. But everybody, look. You don't know where people are in their Christian life. You don't know where they are in their physical life or spiritual life. I'll tell you this, though. If you'll look unto Jesus, no matter what it is, it may not be the first day while you're looking. It may not be the second day while you're looking. But you keep looking through that storm, and you'll see him, and then He'll give you grace. He'll give you peace. And you'll make it through.
Amen.
And then in the end, what are we doing when we're going to heaven? We're looking unto Jesus. That's what we're going to heaven for. Amen. I hope you are. Let's stand. Father.